Now, if you'll turn with me to Revelations, the 18th chapter, we read and finished with Revelations 18, verses 4 through 8 this past week. Still dealing in this last chapter on Antichrist's work and the downfall, Babylon's fall, and the sudden destruction of the city and of the religion in Revelation 17, 18. We finished through verse 8. We can see that even though we're dealing here in chapter 18 with the final destruction of this city that Satan has ruled, of this religion that has been ruled by the powers of Satan, it is seen here, even though at the time of its destruction, it also has a history. This isn't the beginning of it. It's not even just seeing it come up and being destroyed. This is just the end of it. We've gone back to the Old Testament and we have brought it out and we have been able to see how this has been going on all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament as it began at the Tower of Babel. Let's read from verse 9 in Revelation, the 18th chapter, and continue in our Bible study in this prophecy. Reading from verse 9. Says, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. I'm going to stop right here and start looking at the destruction of this. We have seen who it is, what it is, and what this is pertaining to already. Now we're in the very end parts of her final destruction that God brings about suddenly. It does not come about over a period of time, but it is a very sudden destruction. We have some scriptures here in verse 10. We're seeing where the world, the businessmen, that sees her destruction, it says they're watching it from far off because of the fear of her torment. We can look at this torment that's spoken of her, the burning of the city that houses this false and cruel religion. Certainly the burning of a city, the total destruction of a city would cause anyone to feel as they're feeling, but there's more to this. There is all evidence that points to this Babylon in the religious form and the city that houses it also, the capital of it, that it is being destroyed by Antichrist's army, by his warriors, his soldiers. Because Babylon will not be and is not destroyed by some stroke from heaven or by God's power, except as he puts it in the hearts of others. It will be by armies that are on this earth. Now, does anyone remember the scripture that tells us this? We've already studied it. Anyone looked this up? Where do we find this being told to us of who's doing this? Anyone study this past week? It takes studying on your part. The Word gives you personally your salvation. Chapter 17 we just read in verse 16 says this, says, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Who are these 10 horns? 10 horns, the nations around her. Which nations in particular? All right, the 10 countries. And who do these represent? The Antichrist. He points it out. He couldn't do any better than if he took just a hand and he wrote it in red upon the wall to tell you who it is that's destroying the city, could he? Read this over again. Here we have exactly who it is that's destroying. We're seeing in chapter 18. We're seeing the destruction of this false religion that the capital of it is called Babylon. We're seeing how it comes about its destruction. Chapter 17 already told us in exact detail who it is that's doing the destroying. Now that was the question. Where do we see in what verse of scripture? Where do we find who is destroying this? Now if somebody come and ask you that, well, how do you know that it's Antichrist? I think God's going to send down fire from heaven to destroy this false religion and the city that houses it. Where could you point to a scripture that would show them wrong? What scripture would you give them showing them who is destroying this city of Babylon, this imitation, this false religion? What scripture shows this? I feel like my just saying the words does not get to you. You need to know the verses, the scriptures, the chapters. What if something happens to me? You don't have the promise that I'm going to be around the rest of your life. You do have the promise that this word's going to be around the rest of your life. You must know it for yourself. So I just read it. I'm not trying to trip you up. I'm trying to show you for yourself. 17:16, we've had it already and just in the recent past. It says the 10 horns, and we've already learned it says who those 10 horns are. Verse 12 in chapter 17, you say, well, who's the 10 horns? I can't remember. Tell me. The verses that we've read previously, chapter 17, verse 12 says the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. There it is, isn't it? Scriptures. That tells you who it is that's going to destroy this city, and it tells you who it is that they are serving. They're doing this at Antichrist's word. Verse 16 says, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these. Okay, these, who are these? They are those 10 kings or 10 countries that made up the Roman Empire around the Mediterranean under Antichrist. We've just read these, haven't we? These that you saw, these countries under Antichrist, it'll be a political thing. The 10 countries that Antichrist rules, the empire that makes up his empire, shall hate the whore, the false religion that has so much power in the city of Babylon, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That's so clear, isn't it? How can you see anything else? It's very clear here. Why? Because God puts in their hearts to fulfill His will. He doesn't do it Himself this time. He doesn't bring down destruction Himself. He does it as He wants to. On this false religion, He reaches over and uses Antichrist and his false empires, his 10 empires that make up the old Roman Empire. They are all under Antichrist. They're the political side, where this is the religious side. When it gets right down to the end of time, the political destroys the religion. Why is this? Do we have a scripture that tells us why? An angel that says it's good enough for them. Doesn't it? Because he is giving to this religion, which he hates even more than politics, he is giving her double what she has given to his people. We find this that we have read in these scriptures already. In chapter 18, we see from verse 10 that all of the world is standing off because of the fear of her torment. All of the great businessmen, the merchants of the earth, all of them, of the whole earth, they're watching the destruction of this great, mighty city that within its heart, within its being, is the false religion of the world. The Antichrist, politically, is finished with her, so he's going to destroy her. It's very simple. Does anyone have any ideas of how she's destroyed this way suddenly like? Since it does not come from God, except he puts it in the people's heart, how is she destroyed then? Could be a nuclear bomb because it says suddenly. Anyone else? Well, strike from a carrier force, I suppose any kind of force would be the, we have something we just read that I've read twice that points pretty clearly to what it is. All right, it says, like this is what's going to happen. Thus, like this, he said. He picked up the stone, he cast it in the sea, saying, thus, says, like this is what he's saying. Like this, with this great violence, will that city be thrown down and be found no more. So it's a very violent force. It's not the stone. He didn't literally pick up a stone and destroy the city with it, because we have over here, God doesn't contradict itself. And we have over here showing that it is Antichrist and his army that destroys false religion that he's used all down through the decades. God puts it in his heart that he doesn't want any more. Now that he's ruling on the earth, he doesn't want any more powers beside himself. He wants his powers and that's it. So he destroys those powers because God puts it in their heart to do so. You might wonder sometime why people do things. Sometimes they wonder themselves. But if God puts it there, you do it. That's why he does not put it in your heart that you have to serve him. He'll only call you. The choice is yours. All of the points that we see here, all of the knowledge that we look upon here, seems to point at this time that it probably will be a nuclear war. To me, it's the only thing, unless we, in a short time, gain a greater weapon of warfare, that it probably will be nuclear war, a nuclear bomb. The torment spoken of here in verse 10 says they have fear of her torment. They have fear of her torment. It doesn't say they fear for what's happening to her, but they have fear of her torment. Why would the rest of the world have great fear over the destruction of another city? The entire earth, it says. Why were we so afraid when that power plant, that nuclear power plant, exploded in Russia? Fallout. What greater torment is there than a fallout? They actually have fear over her torment. Her torment. What's happening there? They have fear with this. Said afar off, they're as far away as they can get, and because of, they're standing afar off. They've gotten as far away as they can because of, for the fear, or because of the fear of her torment. So they're as far away as they can. So this is the one place in the scripture that we can see. It is about the only place where we see great action being taken, that it's not taken during this time by God himself in a supernatural way. Rather, as we built up to this through 17 and 18, we're seeing something that's never happened before and never will happen again. We see God is putting into their hearts to do this destruction for him. He isn't doing it himself. I guess he figures, let the two enemies fight it out. And they definitely do this. This sudden destruction is very probably the results of a nuclear bomb or whatever powerful source comes up at that time. And as verse 21, let's glance at it again. Now it says, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, and saying, thus, this thus is always like this with violence, shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. This is what it's going to be like. He took up, as it were, and he showed the Apostle John on down through time in his prophecy. John would have no way of describing just a total destruction from one bomb, would he? No way. They didn't even have a bomb in his day. The messenger showing John what this was going to be like, it wasn't from heavenly places. It was not power of God, the supernatural. But rather, he said, it's going to be like this. And he took one stone, and from the heavens, he dropped it. And he said, it's going to be like this. It's going to destroy that city suddenly. And it's going to destroy it with fire. It's going to burn up. And the torment is going to make all afraid of that torment. The angel here in verse 21 is acting out the scene. He drops, as it were, a bomb from the sky using a great stone, the angel says. Now, this is the way it's going to be done. So this is about the only place, as we've studied from one portion of prophecy to another, from Daniel through the book of Revelation, we find that God, for the most part, because he desires it so, uses his own supernatural power and his bride to carry out his work. Here, he uses one of his enemies against the other of his enemies. Here we have the Antichrist against the false prophet. Here we have the religious and the political, which we know, as we're getting into this part of the time, is on past the first part of tribulation. It's coming on down through the line until it's coming up to the Battle of Armageddon in time. We have seen Babylon, and we see it here as a center of world trade. It would be like a worldwide common market. Can someone describe what the common market, countries that are in the European common market now, what is the purpose for this, the European common market? What is the purpose? What is this? Partly that's it, but there's even more to it than this. It's a very high part of our economy for these countries. The name probably says it all, doesn't it? The common market. They have things, all things in common in the financial market. These countries that have gone together, I don't know how many of them there are right now, they are in general. Has anyone kept up with it? Do we have 10, 11, 12? Right now, how many of the countries of the European common market do we have right now? I know they do change. Sometimes countries have taken themselves out of it. They don't belong to it anymore, and others have been added. But they are in the general area of Antichrist's kingdom. Whether they will be the power that does rise up and become that kingdom or not, we have to wait and see. They are in the general area of the old Roman Empire, but they have kind of, some have come out of it, some have been added to it. And as the time comes closer, we'll see more. But they certainly are forerunners for us to be able to understand what is happening here. The power that they have in common, this is the political part, all right, the financial part. This isn't the religious part. There will be a world religion also, but that will be run by Babylon, the Romanist church. The political portion will be as the common market. Under this common ground of the powers that Antichrist has over his empire, Babylon becomes the center of the world trade. We studied last week, I believe it was, and the week before, into this, how it is not just false Christianity, it's false religions, not just Christianity. When we studied in the Old Testament, we saw there was two of these that it said they were the evil religions that came together to make up this Babylon. As we saw that, we're seeing here that Babylon is not just religious center only, but she is a world trade center. Therefore, Satan has helped to make this common market. He's helped to make it. And then because of the power that she wants for herself, religion, the same power she wants today, the same way, then Antichrist, it's put into his heart from God to come and to destroy her. So God uses this means to destroy this country. We see Babylon as the very center at this time of world trade. It's not just a European common market anymore. It becomes as a world common market. If you would stop and think for just a minute, we know that all nations, just about every country, is actually rich in natural resources, and most of them even in talent. All countries are. God made this earth this way. A world market, much like the common market in Europe, except it'll be on a greater degree because it'll be totally ruled not just by religion, but also by politics. So the one comes together. It's one world religion, one world market or political fashion. A world market that is absolutely unhindered by, you'd say, the tariff walls that each country builds up for itself would be enough to bring about such vast wealth to all the people. You remember the scriptures as we studied what Antichrist is like. One of the greatest things he had going for him was a mouth speaking great things. Can you understand what it is that we are seeing here in this woman that is upon the beast, that the ten horns destroys her? This Babylon, the false religion. Can you understand these two factions? The religious part, the woman, Babylon, and the political part, Antichrist and his empire. Can you see these two factions and why the political destroys the religion? Do you understand this, or do you have any questions about it? Because if you don't understand it, now is the time for us to go into scriptures about it so that you can see it and understand it. So if you have any question at this time, Antichrist will show the world how to get wealthy, how to become rich. And he does. Now remember, this comes at a time. This is after the rapture, after the beginnings of tribulation. They're now wealthy, and then comes sudden destruction after that. He's brought the peace and he's brought the wealth. Then God says, really? And then he puts his fist down. Remember, we're building up to a time here. We're not in this time right now. We're in it only in the Word of God. Right now, we're pre-rapture time. We aren't in the rapture. We haven't gotten there yet. Hopefully, it will be before too long. We're building to the rapture. The time before the rapture is a time that becomes so bad and a time that famine and hunger and wars and earthquakes and pestilences are going to become so terrible that one world rule and one world religion is possible. We're building to the terrible times, worse than it is right now. If you think the times are difficult right now, you are going to see them get much, much worse. Then when the rapture takes place, Antichrist is able to show them how he can bring peace and prosperity. And he can. He can bring these things. From Satan comes peace and prosperity by, if you have one world religion, that stops most of the wars right there. Most all of them. Because nearly all religious wars right now, holy wars they call them. So one world religion stops all of those wars. But it's not for very long. Very, very short while. And then the wealth of all the countries having all things in common, no tariff imposed, nothing there, all working together for good under one religion, one political faction, the countries become wealthy, trading through this religion. Does that bring it down simple, make you understand easily what is happening here? For a very short time after the rapture, Satan is certainly able to show them how to get rich and how to have peace. But his great commercial empire collapses when God takes the peace from this world. We can see by right now how it would happen because we can see the old antagonisms that will come back to life with great violence. For a short time, they lay down their arms and they say, peace, peace, we'll have peace. But they have too much hatred for one another. That peace is not going to last. And it comes back with a very great violence, with the nations against nations and race against race. And then suddenly comes destruction, and Satan's false millennium will suddenly come to an end. Now remember what time era we're in. This won't be within our time. The time of the rapture. This takes place after the rapture, after that short time of peace and prosperity that Satan's able to bring. It sure doesn't last very long. And then it's gone, brought about by Satan putting it in their heart. This is during the tribulation and judgment time. Any questions on this? He is getting rid of the religion that he doesn't want it anymore. See, it's known as a religion. Whether it's Mohammedism, false Christianity, whatever, it's a religion. Satan, when he takes up his abode here, you know, his empire, and he rises up with great power, well, sure, he uses religions, but now they become powerful, and he doesn't want them anymore. The hatred he has because they have all this power, he doesn't want that. So he just simply gets rid of them. That is Satan's way. He can use something and drop them. That's the way he does with human beings. He doesn't want them because he cares for them. He uses them to get back at God. So it's the political, or Satan and all of his power and his empire, destroying the religious headquarters, the crossroads at that time of the world almost, because that's where everyone is doing their trading. He set it up, but then he destroys it. They probably want to take power. The religious heads, as usual, wants all the political power, and he destroys it. But actually, that he does it, verse 17 says, because God puts it in their hearts to do it. Any other questions? Yes, has to be peace in the world for him to take peace from the world, see. But that peace is such a short while, and that's after the rapture. Any other questions? This is a very interesting time, even though to me, I don't get as excited about it, except the fact that, as that angel said, well, it's good enough for them. It's their just deserts, as the angel said, because of what they have done against God's people. I don't get as much excitement out of this as I do the time leading up to the rapture and talking about the saints and the bride and the works and all of that. That part just thrills me because I can see God's people in it. This part is the final destruction and the cleansing of this old world. Somebody had their hand up back here? We find that happens during the whole time of tribulation time, not during the judgment. Any other questions? Anyone else? We're going to finish this part of it. Let's read the rest of this. Here we have such a great description here. We have here from verse 24, drop down. I want to read just verse 24 for a moment. It says, in her, in this Babylon, in this speaking her description over here of the woman, the false religion, says, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. We find two ways here, and I want to bring these out of how she has and when and where she has done this, been a killer of the prophets and the saints that were all that were slain upon the earth. Now, this isn't just at this time. This goes all the way back and comes up to this time. Can anyone tell me some of the incidences that we know this false religion have killed God's prophets and God's saints brought blood? Can anyone tell me? Someone had their hand up back here? Stephen was the first martyr. I think we're talking more in particular about the city of Babylon, or this whore that sits upon the beast with the 10 horns for a while. The false religion, the Roman religion that has done this. This is what he's destroying at this time. Anyone else? The Spanish Inquisition, we went into this. I don't remember right offhand. I read it at one time to you of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands that were martyred because they would not recant. And it was for their belief in the one God that they were tortured and killed. Many of them, many good Catholics that worshiped God were killed. It was for their religion. They were tormented and slain, the prophets and of saints. Spanish Inquisition is probably one of the greatest in number we've ever seen. Anyone else think of others? There definitely were martyrs, but this was not for their religion. It was for their race that the Nazis were destroying them. in these particular two chapters, it is over religion. It's not to do with race. Are you forgetting all of those great martyrs that were killed by the Roman religion there in the Colosseum that destroyed them, tormented them? Great numbers. They shed their blood. Rome has always been the killer of the prophets and the saints, beginning with Jesus Christ's time and coming right on down. This woman that we see here represents more than just Rome. 17:15 tells us this. He said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It represents much more than just Rome. The Roman church is only the present, right now, phase of Satan's religion. This woman represents Satan's false church of all ages. She's representing this. That's why verse 24 says, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all. This is what I was wanting you to see, of all that were slain upon the earth. So you can't just point to this religion, to this religion, to this religion as such just a name. It is not just that. This is all of the false religions, the doctrines themselves, not the people that came out of them, not the people that served God, but the false religions itself, that in her, in the false religion, those that killed, the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth for religion. So that speaking of all, this woman represents Satan's false church of all ages. Two also applies to the tribulation saints, because that is the end of the ages for the martyrs, the tribulation saints, those great numbers that says that has of all tongues, kindreds, and nations. The speed and the thoroughness with which Satan, the Antichrist, causes the tribulation saints to be killed when they refuse the mark of the beast is due to one fact, that is that he has already an organization in this old world that's worldwide, whose purpose and ambition has always been and is to get rid of all opposing religions. It's always been that way. That's why you go back to the time of Jesus, you come on up to the Spanish Inquisition, you can bring it right on down through to the tribulation saints. It has always been this way, and Satan has that at his beck and call. This organization or this church will be Satan's ready and willing agent in the program of wiping out the church that is left, that woman that was left behind. We studied in the chapters of the church when the rapture takes place, the woman that's left behind, that God protects her for 3.5 years so she isn't totally wiped out until the end of that time. That's how it's so easy for Satan. He already has that organization all set up to do it. So he just steps in his political world, uses the religious world to get rid of all of those. It'd be very difficult to start one, wouldn't it? When Satan comes down to this world, he knows that he has to. We've studied this. He knows it just as we know it. Anything that we know from this word of God, believes me, Satan knows it. So he knows that it's almost his time. He already has set up the empire that he is going to rule. He has a man there that is coming up through the ranks that's going to be able to bring about the peace through Satan and prosperity. He will have that body ready when he is thrown out of heaven. He takes up his political empire that's already ready. 10 kings that don't have their kingdoms yet, but they will be given power for a short while after the rapture. So he also has his religion that he started all the way back at the Tower of Babel and brought right on along with him, already set up. They have already well practiced in the art of martyring people and killing. They're doing it right now. Holy wars, the name of religion, are just the same thing. They're killing people, saying they're doing it for God. He definitely has his organizations all set up and ready for him. Any questions this time before we finish this? Do you understand this part very well? The only reason you really need to know it is because it's in the Word of God. This chapter, in concluding this, it should be read in its entirety. It presents one of the most amazing spectacles. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been a city or religion as powerful like this ever existed like this. These scriptures, these prophecies right here, this chapter 18, 17 and 18, is amazing. They give such precise prophecies, even to this angel saying it's going to be like this. Give such precise prophecies that one cannot help but see the truth if you even want to at all. We have every article of trade even itemized here, right down to everything, showing what comes to the wealth. Comes from every part of the world. I'm going to read this entire chapter in closing tonight. Gives you a perfect picture of the power of God at His instigation. Whatever happens, He says is going to happen, happens. No one could stop it. And He gives us such detail, right down to tiny detail in this word. Let's read all this and follow with it in your Bible as we read this entire 18th chapter, because the rest of the chapter is just bringing out all the things that they trade, the whole worldwide trade, all of the natural resources, the talent, crafts, and all of these are what makes this city so wealthy. It brings out all the things that the city has done or the religion has done, and they're going to receive double torment. They are going to be wiped out with fire, literally nothing left in that city, nothing. From verse 1, chapter 18, all the way through to the end, it says, after these things, here John, this is after what we're seeing here, I saw another angel, messenger of God, come down from heaven having great power. The earth was lighted with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. He's describing the evil in this false religions. And all nations partook of this one world religion that is false after the rapture. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. We know this counts for down through the ages, right now, and on through tribulation time, God is bringing his people out. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her. Now here the angel says this is good enough for her. This is what she deserves, double because of what she's done. It says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself, not from God, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give to her. For she said in her own heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Nothing can harm me. I'm so powerful now. I'm the world religion where I've always wanted to be. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, Now, you would think they would turn away from sin seeing this, wouldn't you? But they don't, because this is where all their wealth and power is coming from. They really didn't want her destroyed, but they really didn't have power to stop Satan. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, what's happening there, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, 1 hour, is thy judgment come. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more." Look at this. It's finished now. The merchandise of, and here, look at, it names out all the natural resources, the talents, the crafts of the world. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and all fine wood. This is just sweet wood. All manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious woods and brass and iron and marble. Vessels are things that took craftsmen to make. So it's not just natural resources, but it is things that came from these. The cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense, the perfumes and the bubble baths and the aftershaves and all of this. The wine, the oil, the fine flour, the wheat, the beast, the sheep, the horses, the chariots. We're not going to have chariots again. These are the automobiles that are already from every country in the world, everywhere else. Slaves and souls of men. So we will see this again. The fruits, well, I hope to see it from heaven. I hope you do too. The fruits that thy soul lusted after, speaking again of this false religions and the city of Babylon that houses the capital. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. The whole world that was willing to go that way simply for all the wealth that they could get their hands on, the peace that they were given, they'll never have again. They're departed from the world. All things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. Thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off. Here again we find they don't come too close, and they don't come to help her, and they don't come to do anything. They stand as far away as they can. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. The fear of their torment, too. Saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, your false religion. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood far off." They didn't come in to try to help her. "And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. But God's people and saints and all heaven rejoices over it." They don't wail over it. Says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." So all of the blood that she has shed, God avenges on her. "And a mighty angel took up a stone." Here we have in verse 1 and verse 2, and then here's again in verse 21. "Took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea." He's up here and he drops it into the sea. "And he said, Like this, with great violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." So with one instance, one bomb, one superpower, this city is wiped off and the burning of her goes on and on. She'll not be found anymore at all. It is destroyed. "The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. The sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. This describes the total destruction finally takes place after the rapture and the tribulation time. God will cleanse this old world of all sin and all that's false. Will you stand with me tonight? We'll be going into this portion of scripture here that changes. We are now out of these rooms. If you remember, we started here. This is the church ages, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ showing all of his attributes. In chapter 1, this showed all the church ages from the beginning to the end. These three here are all the same period of time, and they all start from the end of the church age. Come back here to start every one of them. But now we're going into a different period of time, and this takes place going into chapter 19. This one is another one, again, that I really enjoy teaching, because chapter 19 and 20 in this sixth room is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. It's not when he catches the bride away, but it's a return to this earth. We will return with him to set up his kingdom. So this part I dearly love to teach. I love to see the destruction of the evil and the sin, but that's just simply a part of it. What I guess tonight I want to impress on you so much is the only thing that you can be absolutely sure of is this Word of God. This Word of God. Beloved, you need to know it. Sometimes I think that you think because you've learned so much and you've been taught so much of the Word that that's all that's important. You know it. But it's not. The time may come when you do not have this Bible. The time may come when I'm not here to give you this Word. The Word of God says every man should search these scriptures for himself. It says study this Word to show yourself a workman that needs not be ashamed. Beloved, you can't be a workman for God if you don't study this Word. You need to. You should go back over what you have learned. You should find the scriptures for yourself. You should have them burned into your mind that even if you never have this book again, you've got the Word right up here. And no one could persuade you differently because you can say, the Word of God says, amen. Jesus used that and that alone for all the temptations Satan could throw at him. He says, it is written. It is written. It is written. He had answers for all of it by this Word of God. And that's what I want you to use. That's what I want you to have, this Word of God. It is written. If it's written in this Word, nothing else, but just in this Holy Bible, it's true. You can stand on it. It's the only thing you can stand upon, this Holy Bible. Beloved, you need to never let one day go by that you don't pick it up and read and study from it. If you don't have hours to do it, you certainly have minutes to do it. Think of all the time that you spend on your own personal things and for this world, just, you know, to eat and to clothe you and to put a roof over your head. And that's just for such a short time. Beloved, spend some time with this Word and in your prayer. I feel it more and more as every day that goes by. I must
study and pray more. I must. But beloved, so must you. You've got to have that Holy Spirit full and running over. The Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. God bless you.